Good morning, this is Mole speaking, sometimes known as Miranda Morris. Today is the 23rd of November 2018, and this is the 916th Mole Out Loud podcast. It's quite early, not quite as early as I'd intended it to be, because I had forgotten to ask how to get out of the flat where I'm staying. But it's still reasonably early. It's about 7 a.m. and I've just come downhill. I'm trying to make a note of the way I came so that I can get back again. And I'm heading towards the river. I've just come to a T section of a path, and in front of me, between me and the river, are lots of very interesting, I guess, temporary houses. There's a mixture of old railway carriages and a really beautiful boat and a truck, a combi vans, and a huge wigwam. A really eclectic kind of mix. And I sort of need to go. I think I need to get around that somehow to get to the river. The Swiss start their days pretty early. When I woke up at about 5 this morning, or 5:30, there were already trams running, and now really we're heading for a morning rush hour, I suspect. I slept really well last night. Again, not very long, but a good deal longer than I have for the last 4 or 5 days. Okay, I've now seen a sign next to this this area of people's temporary dwelling places. I'm trying to cross the road, which is not very easy. Two signs, in fact. Okay. I'm used to more leisurely Tasmanian driving. So it's vacant land that a group of people have decided to make use of, and I think I'm going to take a photo. It says that the signs say besetzt und belebt, which means occupied and lived in, and the other side says Anstatt, and it's a bit of a play on words. Anstatt means on the periphery of the city, or something similar to that. But Anstatt, spelt slightly differently, means alternative. There's a big dome on my left with lots of very colourful graffiti. I don't really know. This is so not what I was expecting to find down here. I thought I'd be just walking down towards the river. And, well, I am. But I thought the river was just across the road, and it's not. I'm sort of following the mist levels. So the mist is where it's densest. I should find the river. Where's wood? Nowhere. I'm a bit aware that I might... I can see a little sign. there are lovely pointers to walking paths everywhere in Switzerland. You often see a sign that has a little walking person on it. So this is a bike track and a walking area, I think. Also some numbers on it which mean nothing to me. When I was looking from the train yesterday at the leaves or the trees, and thinking about how they had nearly lost their leaves, and I find that really beautiful. But of course, I haven't seen what came before, and I think people would have. Would have called September beautiful when the trees were full of turning leaves and glorious colours. But somehow, when it's like that, it's so beautiful. They're so beautiful, and I sometimes find that difficulty with Switzerland itself. Sometimes it is so astonishingly beautiful that you. That you're flattened by, not flattened, your experience is all outward to appreciating what it looks like. And whereas at this time of the year it's got a lot more character, not dazzled by it. I am on the river now. I'm just trying to locate myself a little bit. From the flat where I'm staying, which is on the top floor, there's a fabulous view right round. You can see out really from three sides, and you can see the parliamentary buildings and in one direction, and you can see the Gurten, which is the sort of local Knock Lofty on the other, and I can't remember what you see. Oh, you can see the Carvede, which is where we used to always go skating, open air skating, and which used to be attached to the American Embassy, or rather, the American Embassy had it. Was housed next to it, which meant in recent years that you had to go unbelievable security in order to get to the skating rink. But now the American Embassy has become even bigger, and had to move out, and so now it's a home for asylum seekers. There's a sign. I'm just reading a sign on the ground that tooth floss. What's it called? Dental floss can create terrible damage within the river system, and not to flush it down the loo. It's really nice to have the sign near the waterway, rather than as an abstract idea that it might be damaging. I'm just thinking how my friend Sue, who died recently, I would have liked to have sent this to her, or shared this with her. She was very, very concerned and thoughtful about the way we treat our water, our seas, our oceans. Gosh, there are plants here that I've completely forgotten about. My mum used to have them in her garden. When I say garden, she had a sort of normal-sized patio that was the size of the balconies above. But she'd sort of taken it over, planted further and further out into the communal garden. And there are these plants that have sort of white berries on them. I don't know what they are, but I haven't seen them at all in Tasmania. I've now gone down the steps, so I'm actually on the water's edge. So this river a bit further down is where we scattered our parents' ashes. It's running quite slowly today, not that I'd want to leap into it, but it's a very fast river. But it's at very, very low tide. No, well, it has not tide, but it's quite low down. But my host was telling me how they've had some quite extreme levels, and that flooding has become more common again. I just realised I said that this river was where we'd scattered my parents' ashes, and I suppose that's my more recent experience of it. But it also formed a very big part of my childhood. We lived on the other side of the river and just up a very steep hill from it, and on our side of the river there was a swimming pool, and so it was a place that we spent lots of time in the summer. And a lovely place to walk along. We just gentle Sunday afternoon strolls, which I don't know if they still are. I imagine they are. But when I was growing up, it was almost a regulation that all families did a family walk on Sunday afternoons, and you'd see people in their best Sunday best going on these walks. I think they're in their best clothes. It's probably changed now, and people are dressed for walking, not for being seen to be dressed up. Teef bow. I'm not sure what teef bow means. Maybe teef bow. I mean, it sounds deep building. Maybe it's about waterworks. This, like this last sign, which is was also a kind of an official sign, and this one talks about how many kilometres of area they're looking after. So I imagine it's water and sewage. Okay. I just realised I'm taking rather a long time. I probably need to turn back, or I'll not be around at breakfast time. What a go. I'm just coming to a pedestrian bridge that would take me to the other side. Well, obviously. And on the other side, I would just go up the hill and I would be around Helvetiaplatz in an area called the Englische Anlage, the English, Anlage? Sort of like, sort of an area, a building area, an Anlage. So it was bought, this whole area, just the other side of the main city, by an English company who said that they would develop it as a suburb, but quite a smart suburb. And it's where the main history museum is, and the natural history museum, and an alpine museum. So all these things are within a really easy walk from here. It's also one of the areas that a lot of my novel is set in, across the river. I just wonder whether this bridge existed. Maybe there's a sign on it. Because it's good to come here. In fact, I've listed all these things that I want to research here, and working out which archives to go to and all that sort of thing. But my sense is that what's most important is just to feel it and to write. Feel the area. I can... a lot of it is in my mind, but not kind of the day-to-day, the smell of it and, you know, the moss on the stones in the river where they've collected autumn leaves, because this is also the time of year, I think, that it all plays out. I'm just going to see if there's a sign to say when this was built. I'm sure I've got it written down somewhere. It's interesting, the signposts are to the bear pit. I suppose the bear pit is there, but it's quite a long way away. It feels like a rather odd thing to point to. There's a signpost to the Hunziker Brook. And the Ogerbrück. No, Ogwitbrück, which... The Ogwitbrück was built shortly after I left here, because before that we had a wonderful ferry that crossed the river. It was run by a man who lived really high up on the hill, an old man with a huge white dog. You had to ring a bell and wait for him to come down to ferry you across. So if you're using that mode of transport to get to the airport on the other side, you had to leave yourself plenty of time. Well, I think I'd better head back, but actually, I know it's really silly, but I'm going to go a different way. I'm going to head up from here, up the hill from here, instead of backtracking along the river. At least one thing is good is that the place I'm staying is just behind a fairly prominent hotel, so I can't really get lost, but I could take rather a long time to get home. I don't know whether you can hear in the background the sound of a bell. Whoops. Or the sound of a car running me over. I'm in the old town and it's about midday. And the bells of the Munster are ringing. I'm not quite close enough, and I hadn't kind of thought about it, that that was going to be what would be happening now. The wonderful deep sound. I'm in the Herengoth, and it's a lovely little cobbled street in the old part of the town. Quite resonant, aren't they? It's a beautiful spot here, really lovely. I'm behind the library, one of the many libraries here, and it's about, yes, well, it's midday, and I'm just having a bit of time here. What I really have a few things I have to get, but I've been lured into the old town, and just for the moment I'm enjoying that. I've just come to the square where the cathedral is, and there are a whole lot of tents, and as you can hear, there is a lot of noise. I've got no idea what's in here. This is where, actually, there's often a Christmas market, but it sounds as if there's much more of a party going on. I can smell beer. I can smell beer. Maybe it's not somewhere I want to get too close to. Moses is a wonderful fountain of Moses is looking down at the tent, and with a really kind of strange expression on his face from a fountain, a medieval fountain. I actually think it's got something to do with the army, this noise. There are a lot of soldiers about. I've got especially fond memories of this Moses fountain, because I came here one winter and there were some history walks, some really interesting history walks being run, and there was one I wanted to go on. And so my mother and I turned up at the fountain, which was the meeting spot, and we were the only two people who turned up. And the guide came and told us that they didn't run the tours if there were only two people. There had to be a minimum of four. And my mother immediately said, well, I'll pay for four people, would you do it? And they did. There was a guide and an actor as well. So the actor appeared at various spots, playing different parts of this particular themed tour. And it was quite strange. It was such an intimate intimate guide, and it was so generous of my mum. She knew how much I really wanted to do this walk. Anyway, it was really memorable, and I'd forgotten until I'd noticed Moses up there. There are other associations with Moses and my mother as well. I think there was a shop in Srinagar in the Himalayas called something Moses, some very strange adjective, and Moses, where they made beautiful painted wooden boxes that she and her parents used to, every year they went up to Srinagar and they would buy something special from this Moses shop. And I've got some of those things at home. I'm not really getting on with my shopping, am I? I've just stopped outside a bookshop a second-hand bookshop, and it's got a display of books about the war in the front window. And I was just looking at them because some of them are interesting for what I'm writing at the moment. And there were a group of French people behind me and chatting away and sort of looking at them, and then looking at this one book which I was taking a photograph of, which is called A Whole World Against Us, which was a history of the First World War, published in Berlin. And I just thought, interesting just to be standing here whilst they were reading from the other side, so to speak. Because, of course, this is the German part of Switzerland. Bern is the German part of Switzerland, so the books about the war that the German-speaking population would be reading would be those that were written from a German point of view. But I mean, there are French books in the window as well. There's an amazing picture of a man with a gas mask walking a dog with a gas mask. Some people have escaped from the tent. There's a picture here I need to take for my hairdresser. I've come rather too far down and run out of shops before you get to the bear pits. Oh, there's such lovely little spots. Of course, there's a tiny little restaurant in there, which is looks very inviting. I don't need to go in at the moment, although it would probably be a good idea to just sit down and think. So I've come out into a bigger street now, and I'm going to make my way up it. Another cafe. In fact, I remember this cafe. I've been here before and met people. It's a great cafe that's got a seat outside with cushions, with lots of turbaned men in formation rows, sort of probably from the 1920s, lots of Indian men in front of some big building. Oh, men and women, actually. I must remember this place for when my sister comes, because she would love it too. She would really love it. I've ended up not quite where I expected to today, but what I was going to say before I was rather rudely interrupted earlier next to the Zeitglocke was that whole journey in the old town had really reminded me of my mother. And as I was coming up, I realized that the place I'd stopped for lunch was where I used to go for a hot chocolate with my parents and my daughter after we'd come from Australia. My mother used to have her hair done at the same place every Friday. And for some reason, that was the same day we always seemed to arrive from Australia. And my father would pick us up from the railway connection and take us down to the old town where my mother was at the hairdresser, up some stairs, this tiny little place, and we'd all crowd in and talk to her and then have a hot chocolate while we waited. And so as I was passing, I went back up there to talk to the people who owned it. And I was kind of wondering why the old town so reminded me of her, and I think it was because she really loved the old town, and so it was really nice to remember something, have a really happy memory of her there. Anyway, I'm going to keep this short because this is not really somewhere I should be talking out loud, and so it's a mole quietly murmuring. Sorry, I'm eavesdropping. I do hope that you've had a good day today, that you haven't had too many unexpected events happen within it. Thank you very, very much for listening today, as always, and I really look forward to talking to you again soon, and I might reveal what has just been happening.